It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I'm really not, but I'm maybe more in awe that I think we might have another week of football news upon us.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do it? How do they do it?
They make up things that make us want to talk about them. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Bulldog's watching the news while we speak.
You prompted me. I thought I could pull it off and I would get complimented for getting the soccer game on as the Open was playing, but then the volume came on.
The volume comes on.
When I turned the TV on, so I apologize to our audience. I don't know if they could even hear that, but anyway.
Should have been okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got whatever the flag football in the Olympics thing really is. I think it's kind of fun to think about. You've got the tush-push rule. We're getting two rounds of that. The one at the owners' meetings, the one that Sal went to, and they talk about it, and it's either, what, it gets tabled or it gets approved or voted down, whatever happens. This one just gets, like, tabled, pushed off until tomorrow, today and tomorrow. And then also with that is this reseeding of the playoffs. We didn't spend a lot of time on either of those last two last week because there must have been something way more important that we were talking about, like whether the Bills should have drafted a wide receiver earlier than in the seventh round. Probably it was that or something close to that. I do think they're both good. And I ended up the last time around on the tush push, I ended up feeling like I wanted to be against it, voting for the ban.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't, I never really could say it and I can't right now. It just doesn't really seem like fair.
Yeah.
Not fair to the teams playing the Eagles or even the Bills, but teams, you know, on defense. It seems like it's just a little too easy. And I know not every team is that successful at it. But in principle, it seems like it's a little bit like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up being against it. But what I can't figure out is exactly what the agenda is, what the point is of the forces against it.
Well, that's where I come in. I have a pretty good idea on that. I don't have any information from anyone. I haven't talked to the Green Bay Packers.
We'll turn the news back up. Turn the volume up.
About why they came up with the proposal in the first place. But I think what they have failed to do so far, or the league, or anyone who's trying to get this thing taken out of the sport has failed to do, is produce a reason that covers up the real reason, which is it just looks bad. Just doesn't look like football, and I say that knowing like Ross Tucker will be in my ear saying, "What's more football than, you know, six guys on one side or eight guys on one side and eight guys on another all plowing into each other trying to, you know, define who's going to get the land?" And to an extent, I get it. I think maybe a lot of football people, like especially a former lineman like Ross, might push against it because it sort of slights linemen and their value or something. And, you know, we all want receivers and passing yards and finesse. And this is blunt force trauma, that play. But the specter of guys piling in from behind to push someone across the line of scrimmage, it was never allowed in the sport prior to like 2006. They made a rule change, and now you've got this pushing and pulling and all this stuff that goes on kind of all over the field. Forward progress doesn't seem to exist anymore as a concept that's going to blow a play dead. They just keep letting it go. And I don't like it. I can't speak with any authority on whether there is a real injury. I can understand there being a concern about an injury.
Well,
if someone on the bottom of the pile is caught in an awkward twist or something and there's 1,200 pounds landing on top of them, like that could be really catastrophic. I get it. It hasn't happened yet, and that makes that part of the you know, complaint about the play ring a little hollow for now. They're trying to be preemptive, I guess, and I can appreciate that. I don't want to see someone get hurt like that, but for now, you're left going, well, no one's really been hurt, so what are we talking about? And then the other thing the Packers included in this new, I don't know, I guess it was revamped the way I read it, was pace of play. And I don't know what to do with that. Like, what? Pace of play? You're staving off punting. You're keeping a drive going.
It's the unpiling of the players.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then maybe it's a review. Think of Allen in the Chiefs game.
Okay, yeah.
Where
all right.
We don't really know if he made it.
All right.
And then we're not sure. We have a conversation. Then we'll have Sky Ref, and then we'll have a commercial break.
Thank you for helping to legitimize that complaint. I get that now. I guess I didn't think deeply enough about it.
But that doesn't really hold up, I think. I mean, pace of play. I guess I feel like it's more jealousy. You know, you want the overtime rules changed when you lost a game in overtime where you didn't get the ball. Like, it happened to you. Isn't that just like life? We all have our political beliefs and, you know, sort of thoughts on how society should work. And then something happens to you and you throw it out the window because it happened to you. It happened to your house, to your family, and all bets are off at that point. You lose a game in overtime because you didn't get the ball. Let's change the rules. Anything like that. And I guess I think the Eagles have been too successful. And then they won it. And they beat Green Bay on the way, and like, that's enough. Now, it happened to me. Now I'm going to
complain.
And that part of it, you know, it's going to be more than that. But to me, like, that's where you have a problem. Because it really shouldn't be about, well, we just had, you know, this result that was considered unfair. Not that that exactly happened with the Eagles. That's really been more like 2 or 3 years in the making of all of their quarterback sneak first downs. So now we're at a point where it's like acceptable. It became acceptable to want it banned. All right, enough, Eagles. Jason Kelce's retirement didn't matter. You're still automatic. Mm-hmm. Now you won a championship, and we're the rest of the league, and you have the best roster in the league and the ring. So now it's acceptable to complain. I think that is kind of it. The injury point does not work. I read a blog today about how there's more evidence of injuries on the Lambeau leap than on the tush push. Players are more subject to injury risk jumping into the crowd at Lambeau Field. Right? Can we pace a play? That slows the game down, right? The Lambeau leap, doesn't it? Injury risk, pace of play, let's ban that. I just don't think you really need to do it. So I don't like the play, but I really just don't feel great about
it. Doesn't
the
feel
process
like
here.
There's a legitimate reason other than, again, aesthetically, you don't feel like it's right. It's one of those things that you maybe can't. I mean, these people are smart enough. They got a million lawyers. Like, somebody should be able to come up with. I'm surprised, while you were talking about the injury thing there for a moment, a wire trip for me, I'm surprised that no one in the league who wants it banned has brought up, I don't know, modified football, like kids, like teenagers playing football, and it being a play at that level because it works in the NFL, and kids getting piled on top of each other, and that being an injury risk more so than pro athletes who are being paid millions of dollars and have insurance and whatever. And I could also listen to that. I don't know if it's actually true, but I'm surprised they haven't played that card yet try to get some, you know, more. Although, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they need help getting it through. It sounds like all the big reporters seem to be writing, to my eyes, like they're expecting it to get banned.
There's a line. BetOnline has it -400 that it'll be banned. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Odds, like, to think that it will be.
So I don't know that they're struggling to get their agenda fulfilled here, really, but I still don't think they've given a good enough reason. They're not saying this because it would sound ridiculous. It doesn't look good, but that's my biggest problem with it. Is it just doesn't seem fair that you should be able to just push the pile like that.
Well, those are two different things, I think. How it looks and then what that is, because I think I agree with one but not the other. I mean, the tush-push play doesn't look that much different than a regular quarterback sneak. It really doesn't. Like, it's just a pileup. And to that point, since when do football coaches take offense to that kind of thing? Like, football coaches actually want it to be prettier? That's not how they talk. Right. That's definitely not the stereotype. The stereotype is, you know, even Sean McDermott has people guessing almost a decade into a wildly successful run as the Bills coach. Well, they threw the ball all the time and they had this success, so, you know, he must be on board. I don't know. Every time I hear anything that makes you wonder, I feel like I just sort of default to, yeah, I think his perfect world would just be run and stop the run. Today on ADP Chasing, they brought up Matt LaFleur. The guys are trying to rank the different Green Bay wide receivers. And one of the guys said, I forget who, like, don't you think if Matt LaFleur had his way, they'd run the ball on every play? They play, like, super low-event games, Green Bay, and, like, who knows? But it doesn't sound to me like the football coach mantra that the tush-push is, like, bad for our sport because it's either ugly or too slow. And the idea that it's dangerous, it just, that kind of confounds me. Like, that's the Bills' position on this has kind of always been strange to me. McDermott came in with injuries, then he sort of soft-pedaled backwards on that the next day at the combine, that was when they were having those meetings. And, you know, his team is benefiting from it. And on a certain level, I respect opposing it.
Yeah,
even
me too.
Though your team seems to win from it.
They're pretty good at it, yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm curious to see what it ends up looking like and what exactly the result of a ban is. Like, what will be allowed and what will not be allowed? I mean, I know what they're trying to accomplish is avoiding these pileups and guys plowing into the line of scrimmage. I disagree with you. I do not think it looks like a regular quarterback sneak when you've got 300-pound dudes behind in the backfield that are there solely to push the quarterback forward. Like, quarterback sneak was like an individual effort. You got a crease or you don't, and you're stuck, and that's it. It's over. This just goes on after it looks like it could be stopped or should be stopped to me. So aesthetically, it does bother me. It's fine that we disagree on that part, but I don't know how they're going to what exactly it will look like when it comes to pass, because sort of an offshoot of this being in vogue the last few years is, again, even plays down the field where guys, tight end catches the ball and everybody comes running and we're going to keep going. And that looks foreign to me every time it happens, but it has been allowed. And I imagine that's going to stop if the language is maybe right. I'd like it to stop because I think that's as dopey as the whole concept of doing it the line of scrimmage is. So I'm just curious how they're going to actually, if it passes, which it feels again like it will, what it will end up looking like.
Well, that's maybe the worst part. I mean, so like, say you don't like the play. I really don't like the play either. Doesn't seem fair. Just sort of like a huge pile and you can't really see where the ball is. Well, I guess that's, I'm going to say it both ways now. This ban may bring up more reviews and more just like, not reviews of the spot, but was there a penalty? And whether that, if it's wrong to call that a review because I'm going to be told that, oh no, the league doesn't review penalties, sure. Then it's just going to be a conversation on the field and somebody's in their ear and they're actually reviewing the penalty. So it's just, there's your pace of play is if I've got to have officials meetings, you know, twice a game because we're not sure if somebody actually interlocked, was there interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in an effort to block an opponent? Rule 12, Section 1, Article 4B. That's what we really want, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah, I want Gene Steratore talking about that.
Exactly.
On my TV.
That's the worst possible outcome, is more rules.
Yeah.
So maybe we are headed there. It is interesting. I mean, it's secondary, but you think about, like, if they don't allow this play and Josh Allen, you know, running, we talk about that every year. How much more of that do we want? How much more do the Bills need? Nobody's talking about the rule just for Bills games that quarterback sneaks must only be to the left. I don't see that being talked about at all.
Yeah.
That every Bills quarterback sneak has to go to the left. I don't know why that doesn't seem fair to the Bills to have that only be a penalty if they go to the right.
You'd like to be able to change it up once in a while.
You'd think that they would be allowed to do that. But, you know, sort of like the, as Alan gets older, there's always this conversation anyway. All right, so say you don't have the tush push anymore. Does that mean you don't want him sneaking as much? Does that mean, like, the odds should go down, just sort of logically. Your chances of success should be lower. They're still great. Maybe they're not as great as they should be for the Bills with him over the years, fourth and one, fourth and two. Because they've been stopped a few famous times.
Yeah. What I might end up liking about it, and I'm just going to say it that way because, you know, I'm not sure that I'll like it. Because it could be that the Bills and the Eagles, mostly, those are the two most notable teams. The Bills trail the Eagles by some degree there, but I think those two teams are separate from the rest of the league, mostly, in their effectiveness using that style of play. Maybe it gets the Bills to get out of a mindset where third and short, fourth and you're playing in a way where you know you've got this borderline automatic play, so you're not as worried about picking up 12 yards. You're just, you know, as long as we get to third and one or fourth and one, we're fine. And you know that's that final series against the Chiefs. Maybe in a nutshell, you know, passes behind the line of scrimmage to Amari Cooper. And like, what are we doing here? Like, let's get the ball down the field. And maybe not having that to sort of fall back on conveniently will push the Bills and the Eagles both to handle the entire series differently, knowing that they don't have the advantage that they had had for the previous couple of years.
I'm looking at a picture of an Eagles snap. Line of scrimmage. They're playing Tampa Bay in this picture. And they have their five offensive linemen. They've got a tight end on each side. Just to the right of the tight end, set back, like whatever it is, a yard behind the line of scrimmage is the would be what, the flanker, but that's Devontae Smith, and he's right on the line of scrimmage. Hurts is under center. This is a couple of years ago, I guess, because there's DeAndre Swift right behind Hurts, sort of offset over Hurts' right shoulder. I think that's Goddard. So they're using a different tight end on the left, and three tight ends are on the field. There's Goddard over Hurts' left shoulder, like, you know, hands on his knees awaiting the snap. And there's A.J. Brown just right of Swift. So I've got 11 guys who are all in the in the box. The penalty is for assisting Hurts. I think it might only it's not just the quarterback. It's whoever takes the snap, the ball carrier. The penalty is if you push Hurts or, you know, anything, wrap your arms around him and sort of drag him, anything that assists him, is it really going to be that different if on this play, for example, anybody can line up like this, you know, the Bills would use who? Alec Anderson and, like, they're big people, both tight ends. If the other players behind Hurts are just pushing basically the lineman forward and coming in on top of the guard defensive tackle meetup, you know, just sort of pushing the line, not pushing Hurts. That's not the same thing. I guess it isn't, but that's going to look the same or close enough to the same. Well, it's not going to be illegal.
If the guys are, again, Goddard and Swift and Brown are behind the quarterback here,
they're basically almost in line with him.
Okay.
Behind the line of scrimmage by, at the most, 2 yards at the deepest.
All right.
They're basically just like right. Goddard and Swift could be whispering to him, and
okay,
he would hear them.
Yeah. I guess I want to see this photo. Can I lean over? Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're not like in a you know, whatever, a split set in the backfield. They're all real, real tight. But still, in order for Hurts to let them get ahead of him, he's going to have to wait. And maybe that diminishes the effectiveness of the play because you're not just at the snap, just going forward. You got it's going to be a fraction of a second maybe for them to get ahead of you, but that amount of time could matter, I suppose. And maybe that'll be enough of a deterrent because the way that I understand it is you there's nothing to prevent you from doing what you're describing. Those guys go first and push the pile and make it easier for Hurts to get, you know, to just fall forward and get whatever he needs, half a yard, or Josh Allen for that matter. So maybe teams try that out and see if that version works rather than waiting behind the ball carrier and pushing them.
I think I have a new reason for wanting to support this now. the tush push, is officiating and having a play like that happen in such a way where it's basically the same thing. It's basically the same thing, only nobody has actually pushed Hurts, who can leg press 650 pounds and, you know, might be able to get all these first downs without any help. They just do it because they can do it. And then it's, you know, it's the ref show.
Then yeah. I mean, you're going to have the ref show problem almost no matter what. What comes of if there is a rule of some kind, there's going to be a ref show.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I think effectively, if a team, the Eagles, the Bills, whomever, were to do the way we're talking about it right now, that takes away the it's not football part. Because the it's not football thing, I think, really, for me anyway, I don't know how other people feel about it, it entirely is about pushing the guy who has the ball. If I'm not pushing or pulling the guy who has the ball, then that's a football play. Like I'm plowing into you with all my guys. I've got more of them than you, maybe, at this point, this flash point of attack, and then that's football.
It's a highly technical term known as blocking.
Right, but if I'm pushing the guy who has the ball, then that's not blocking. That's pushing. Pushing the tush is what's happening there, and that isn't football, and at least in my view.
I mean, it's pretty adjacent to watching Earl Campbell play all of it, and I don't know, maybe he was never pushed, but like the roots of the sport, that's kind of what Ross would say too, I think. Like since when is football above everybody on three pushing forward? You want to break it down into like where the hands actually are and make it about that. That's kind of what it is. Then it may be more complicated than it's worth. I don't know. 803-0550 is the number for your thoughts. We'll talk to Warren Sharp today, maybe about this, but also about, he's big on schedule analysis and the advantages and disadvantages teams face based on how the schedule comes out. Bills, win totals, all of that. Always a good conversation with one of the top analysts in the game, Warren Sharp. We'll talk to him today, and maybe we'll hear from you next. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
And right now it feels 50-50. Let's say it is. The Eagles are the team right now that are kind of calling around, trying to see if they can find enough teams to make sure that this does not get banned. They don't want to see it happen. They'd essentially need to find 8 teams, because it takes 24 teams to vote on something to get it banned. If the Eagles can find 8 teams to say that we're going to keep it, ultimately the tush push will stay in effect.
Jeff Darlington, they get to be one of the 8, I would think. Philadelphia.
Sure.
They get to vote.
They should have a vote, yep.
So now I'm down to 7. But still, it's like that likely that the vote to ban will pass.
They're already, accounted for. I think what he's counting there is they need 8 more on top of what they've already got.
It takes 24 to ban it.
I think they've got 16 already, and I would assume the Eagles are one of them. So they need 8
to
more.
Ban it.
Oh, to ban it. Okay, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
To save it,
right?
There need to be 9. Okay, it is 8 more. Because it would have, if 24 to 8, it's banned. 23 to 9, it lives.
Right. So they're just trying to find someone within the that group that's for banning it right now to come over to their side.
That's what they've got to do.
Because they're already on that side.
They need a political operative.
I wonder if the Bills are complete. Like McDermott speaking about, like he's one of the faces and names of this idea, I think, even though it wasn't their proposal, but his position on the competition committee put him in a spot where he was talking about it, and he certainly seemed in favor of banning it. I wonder if Brandon Bean agrees. Like, I would assume if McDermott is like talking like he's talked about it, that the Bills would be on the side of wanting to ban it, but I don't know it. I don't know that I've ever heard Bean even asked about it.
Oh, I bet he would take the question.
I bet he would, too.
I don't know. I'd like to know. I don't know that answer either. I like it. TJ is with us. Hello, TJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I'm not a fan of banning it. I'm not a fan of more rules. I think you guys make a good point when you're talking about, you know, having the Gene Steratore on the call and what's going on with all that. For me, it compares it to when they added the trapezoid in hockey for the goalie. Just because you got a good team or a good player that could do a skill well doesn't mean you should get rid of it. I don't know if that's a good comparison or not, but that's kind of how I think about it in my head.
Okay. I guess I have not thought about that rule in forever. I don't miss, do I? Miss goalies playing the puck in the corner? Do we want that back? Does it work? Did the rule work? It's not one, though, that officials really, it never comes up. Like, almost never do you see it even be close. A goalie on the edges.
Right, right.
It's never a penalty.
Right. A time or two a year, a guy might come out there. I'm thinking in a Sabres game. I don't know, like every team. I'm not watching every minute of every game, obviously, but where it's awkward and you get sort of tight. Like, oh, I thought it was going to get here and it didn't, and now I'm out here. Goalies going in the corner to play the puck is how we grew up with it. Like, if the tush push had been something and players being allowed to push any ball carrier anywhere on the field, like is happening now, if that had been how we grew up watching it, then I think you'd have an easier time convincing at least someone my age that it's okay. Because it's just how it's always been. That doesn't look like football argument would go out the window because it obviously would look like football. That's what we're conditioned to. Minimizing how far the goalie can stray from the net and touch the puck, it didn't really change. You know, it did not look like hockey when they were doing it, and it seems fine with it the way it is. So I don't know. I'm not crazy about the comparison, I guess. I appreciate the thought to try to find a comparison, but I'm not sure it really works for me.
It's just the difference. The main difference is about the refs and delays and the kinds of things that just seem to come new to football every year. And I think just, here we go, gradually make it less exciting, he said, as he makes plans to watch every game in the league, actually.
On every streaming service.
On every service.
That you're going to put games on and make me buy.
Thursday kickoff with Al to Monday the Gun with Joe Buck. I'm there for all of it. And so what right do I have? Arnold is next. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys? Yeah, I would just say I'm sort of decidedly behind Bulldog. I think you should not be able to assist a runner through pushing. The reasons for primarily is it's just not an interesting play. I like fourth and one. I like to see the strategy and the type of play they're going to come up, run or pass. So it's just not interesting to me. And two, it sort of deadens third and two because now all of a sudden the Eagles are going to run because they know they're going to get it on fourth and one. In regards to the arguments against it, I'm not really struggling whether there's logic behind my decision because most rules in sports don't have logic behind it. I don't know in baseball. I know why they could make it 100 feet to first base or 200 feet to first base, but it wouldn't be interesting. They could allow holding in football. That's a rule that an interference is a rule. There's no logic behind it other than it makes the game better. And for those who state, oh, stop arguing against banning the push. Defenses just get better. It's a ridiculous statement because my response to it would be, okay, then let's get rid of holding on defense and offense because receivers should be able to get away from people holding them and defenders should be able to get away from people who are holding them. That's an ambiguous no reason for those rules. So it's the same thing. The rules should be put in place because it's a detriment to the game and from watching the game, simply for that reason. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You're reminding me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine a long time ago. I do think I brought this up. I don't know. It only was one time in passing, so I doubt you remember it. But I was watching football one time with my friend Jarvis, and he said they should just get rid of all those sorts of rules. Holding, interference, anything goes. Best man wins. If I'm a receiver and I can pull you down before you pull me down, I win. I'm going to go catch the ball, and like that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Right? You're rushing me. I'm protecting my quarterback, and if I can trip you or I can grab you and pull you down, I won. If you get me first, then you win, and you get the quarterback and all the glory. Like, we don't need the rules. Like, there's too many of them anyway, and I had to sit with that for a bit and think, like, what would that really look like? It would be mayhem, but you know, there's something about it that appeals to me.
Yeah, I like that too. And I like the caller's basis that there's no logic, and that's logical. his anti-logic take is logical. Like it or not. You did a lot of hockey yesterday?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
Leafs?
Leafs. Yeah, Marner specifically, you know. And, you know, whether I opened up talking really about whether them need, you know, being at this point again where they've hit their head on a very familiar ceiling tells you anything, informs at you at all about how we feel about the Bills and where they're at. Because it's not as long and it's different because, you know, there's a core group there, and I didn't really think about who the core group of the Bills is, and I ended up on it's Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen. Like, everybody else has changed mostly, right? Receivers have come and gone and different linemen and whatever. But, like, that's your core, Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. But, like, when do you – you know, how long can you preach patience? Because mostly from the distance that I'm at with the Leafs, not being emotionally tied to them, most years they crap out when they do, and – I go, just stay with it. You're good. It's hockey and bounces and whatever, but it's so long now, and those two home games were just so similar that it looks like a failed construct at this point that I think needs to be addressed. And, you know, will be conveniently because of contracts. Like, you know, Marner's up,
agency.
Tavares is up, so like some decisions may be made for them. To change out that core anyway.
He sounded today like he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Past tense. Everything about it. I've loved, you know, every minute of playing here and that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, I think he's got to go. Tavares was the opposite. Said, like, he even was encouraged by talking to the GM and coach on his way out that maybe they can keep him around. But, yeah, Marner, to me, is walking.
One thing I think that might be a fair connection between the Leafs and the Bills is the teams that have beaten Toronto have been great and have had great Hall of Fame bound players. It's the Boston teams with Bergeron. It's the and Marchand. I mean, they'll both go to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers with Marchand, who just was amazing in the second period. That's what I watched most of that game on Sunday. It's the Lightning teams with Hedman and Stamkos and, you know, all their guys in Florida now. They all, is anybody else? Like, they all look like great teams. You know, they've been, mm-hmm. It's the Sabres of the 80s almost too, but just not as, not the same kind of scale, but always losing to Boston and Montreal with, you know, Hall of Fame players. And like the Sabres were usually good. And most of those years they were good, but they weren't better than those teams. They needed to be born in the Midwest. That would have helped the Sabres. That wouldn't be great for us because we wouldn't care about them.
Right.
If they were born in St. Louis or something,
right. They
might have a better track record. So, yeah, it's all being said about the Leafs. It's more amazing to me than anything else. The fact that the game was so one-sided just was like, guys, somebody – I'm with my brother-in-law from Toronto for the game, just like, one of your guys has to do something right now.
Right.
And just never came. That's happened before.
You should never be trying to get through the first 10 minutes of the first period of a game 7 when you're at home. And that's what that looked like. The Leafs were the ones. Like, how many times have you seen it written and heard it said on games? Like, the road team just wants to get through the first 10 minutes. That was the Leafs. And they're the home team, and that was weird. Seeing them booed, saluting the crowd, was also a spectacle I've never really experienced.
Wow.
I mean, just really, really, really tough.
I'm not sure we're that bad. Just like throwing jerseys and everything like that. I mean, we've gotten pretty frustrated, to say the least, with the Sabres, but we're not that bad. Again, it's just on a bigger scale, I think, is maybe part of it. The idea of the Sabres getting Mitch Marner to me is hilarious. And not... Maybe it's the same point. Here's a guy that's, what is he, top 25 forward in the league? Is that conservative? I mean, top 25?
He's a 100-point scorer.
This year he was.
So, yeah, I mean, he's at least that. Maybe okay. It's conservative, but he's a great player. He's a superstar player, I think.
He's a, you know, first-line player on almost any team, and superstar. Let's settle for that. what's the issue with him? The issue is, like with Matthews and Nylander, like it's, can you win in the playoffs? That's the bottom line with the Leafs. That's the whole thing. They're good every year, and then they lose. Two great teams, but they lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would your thought be if you were he? I need to disprove that. I'm making money.
Right.
I'm really good. I'm a star. You know, it's all there. The only thing left for me to do is find myself on a winning team. You know, you'd think the player himself would trust himself to be capable of that. It's just a matter of, I'm looking at houses in the Midwest. I'm looking at houses where, you know, I don't have Boston and Tampa and Florida. Maybe that's, you know, a little bit the easy route, but maybe he deserves it, a guy like this.
Yeah.
And it would never be Buffalo.
Or maybe he's looking for houses in Boston, Tampa, or Florida.
Okay.
Right? We go join, can't beat him, join him, sort of thing.
The Buffalo Sabres are the definition of a franchise you would not sign with if that is your that's Tavares, too, almost. His career is longer, but where's the win? And so I'm never going to a team where it has clearly demonstrated its interest in stopping short in so many different ways for so many years. They would just not even be a consideration for me. Is it still palm trees and other things we're talking about players of this caliber? It doesn't even get off the ground in my mind. I could see that they want him. What's that worth? Maybe it happens. I don't know the guy.
Right.
But the Sabres are just like the definition of a franchise, a great player that has this one void, would never even think about.
Yeah. I contributed to it. Paul and I got into it pretty hot. Well, I don't know, hotly, whatever. I mean, we weren't yelling at each other, but like he hates the idea. Just in print, you know, if he wanted to come here, Paul's a no, which I think is kind of patently absurd. Because I think he's a great player, and sure, I would I rather have some beard growing cross check you in the face guy who can score me 50 or 60 points? Maybe. But if Mitch Marner wanted to come here, I'm making all the room in the world. I'm not worried about his clutch performance in the playoffs. Lots of guys leave places where they can't do it and go somewhere else. We've had guys leave here who we thought were like failed here, and then they go and win every which way. So I don't need to worry about his reputation or his makeup. I think it is one of these things that will probably be talked about maybe in the entire time that we have been together. The most disproportionately from a chances it happens standpoint versus like the amount of time we spend talking about it. Simply because we're going to have 6 weeks and it's an idea. And, you know, unless he says, I don't want to come there or something publicly for some reason, the possibility, the 1% chance that he loves Josh Allen and the Bills so much, or it's closer to home than anywhere else in the league besides Toronto, would draw him here. I just think the idea of Sabres fans going, oh, we score enough. We're fine. We need a goalie. We need a mean defenseman. You don't have a 100-point guy on your team right now.
Let me see how much vacation time I have
like
left.
Wants to come here,
of course
you do whatever you need to do to make that happen.
Pretty like, much, of course.
You got to be crazy, I think, to think. I shouldn't say crazy. I mean, Paul hates the idea. I don't think Paul's crazy.
But he, what are his reasons? Doesn't play defense. He's gotten Selke votes six times. Like, where's the proof of that?
Yeah, he killed penalties for the Four Nations for Team Canada. I mean, he's a good all-around hockey, a great all-around hockey player. So, I don't think it has a chance in hell either. But I like the conversation around it. Like, theoretically, would you want this player on your team? And like, I'm a hard absolutely. What's wrong with you?
Well, he's the closest maybe example to like what the best player in the league. He's not the best player in the league. He might be the closest to that of anybody we've had all these years to talk about for July 1. And it's also maybe as far away from the Sabres being like sort of a cool idea from the player standpoint than ever.
Right. That's what I mean about the player. How disproportionate that
is. I mean, I can't listen to anybody who doesn't think he's good.
Right.
But just why would he come here? Why? There's 32. They keep adding teams. I don't know why I would do it. Warren Sharp coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. I need help.
Well, maybe I can help.
I'm up in a draft. This is one of these, like the Brandon being with Jacksonville thing.
I want it back already.
A couple of years ago where he got to Kincaid. I'm up in a draft, and the guy who's after me wants to give me a pick to move up this one spot. I want to ask him, who do you want? And if it's not who I want, fine. But then I'm kind of giving myself away, right?
Yeah.
If I were the other person, I might be willing to tell me, in this case, who I want. But if I knew, if I'm the other guy, and I knew we didn't want the same player, why would I trade?
Right. Right. If you're not going to pick the guy he wants to trade up to make sure he gets, and thusly you're amenable to making the trade.
Then he knew he didn't need to do it.
Right.
This is like the Chiefs-Eagles trade. I wonder what their conversations were. The Chiefs and the Eagles traded the last two picks of the first round this year. And I think by moving down, Kansas City got like a fifth. I think that was the trade. 31 for 32 and a fifth, which was worth it. Jihad Campbell was the pick. That was worth it for Philadelphia to do. But would they have had like a... No. No conversation. No, they're not asking who do you want?
Probably not. What might have is if you are you obviously you should be paying attention to everybody around you in the league, what their needs are, what they want, like what you know, what you think they're going to do. And the Chiefs ended up on an offensive tackle, and maybe they felt pretty confident that the Eagles weren't going to get an offensive tackle. So if the Chiefs were ready to pick the kid from Ohio State, I forget, Simmons, I think. Mm-hmm. If that's their guy at 31, and they are, I don't know, as sure as you can be without really having it told to you that the Eagles aren't going to do that, draft a lineman who might not play right away because of an injury, yeah, fine. I guess I'm taking some chance here if I'm not being told specifically who you are targeting here, but maybe you have some confidence going down and knowing it.
This is the kind of trade I make, right? This is my brand.
Yeah.
Like, how does he know who's going to be good? If I can find two guys that I like, right. I just take the deal. Probably do that. Warren Sharp coming up next. We'll talk about the Bills, the offseason, the schedule, and more. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.